So again, Pastor Romel Moore, and if we can go to 1 Samuel chapter 22.
Yes, sir.
How many of you need a word from heaven?
Amen.
1 Samuel 22. All right. When you get it, say amen.
Amen.
It reads, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. Somebody say Adullam.
Adullam.
And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, and everyone that was distressed. Somebody say distressed.
Distress.
And everyone that was in debt. Somebody say in debt.
In debt.
And everyone that was discontented. Somebody say discontented.
Discontented.
Gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those who are represented here today. And we pray that by your spirit you move today to remove burdens, destroy yokes. So God, we thank you that you came to set the captive free. We thank you that your men and women of God, eyes and hearts and minds will be open and receptive to your word. Don't let us leave here the same way we came, oh God. We thank you for a panoramic view and understanding of your will today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You say you like the panoramic? All right. How many of you have read this story before? Okay, so David was running from King Saul. This is part of the season where Saul was seeking his life. Over 13 years, Saul tried to kill David, sending assassins, trying to set him up because he was jealous after David killed Goliath for him. Alright? So David is on the run. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, what we're going to talk about today is this is one of the places he ran to, the cave of Adullam. David therefore departed thence and escaped. See, he escaped again from the clutches of Saul. He escaped to this cave called Adullam. Verse 2 says, and everyone that was in distress. So when David came to this cave named Adullam, he had some people with him. People began to gather to David because they knew God had rejected Saul. Saul became so evil. Amen. Amen. And they knew David should be the next king, but they didn't know when Saul would be taken out. And so they're hearing about David running from Saul, and he ends up at this place called the Cave of Adullam. So many people begin to come to David. Even though he's not in a castle, he's not in a place of plush and that's regal and royal. He's on the move, but they say that's going to be the king. And so it says, everyone that was in distress. That's what we want to talk about today. We're going to talk about these three D's that's listed here: distress, debt, and discontent. God is going to begin to prophesy as you hear the story explained. So it says, everyone that was in distress. Now, any students of the Bible here? Any lovers of the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you guys got Bible resources when you study in the Word of God?
Yes.
Now we know that the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, yes, and the New Testament is written in Greek. Yes. So when you're studying the Old Testament, it's important to look the words up in Hebrew. It expands your understanding and your knowledge of what's going on, because we're reading the scriptures that's been translated into English. Amen. Yes. So to get the full essence of what God by His Spirit want to speak to us, we have to look at the language it was written in. So we're in the Old Testament, so it's written in Hebrew, right? So if you look up distress in Hebrew, you're going to find it begins to prophesy to you. It means it's you're going to find there's more to it than just your English definition of distress. So in the Hebrew, distress literally means a narrow path. So the people, so you already have David, who's distressed because his king for 13 years been trying to kill him. And so people begin to gather to him. And we just read in verse 1 that his father, whose name is Jesse, remember David is the youngest, he's the eighth of seven sons. So Saul have really lost his mind. David's whole household is afraid of Saul. They following him and they came to the cave of Adullam. They're there with him. But I don't know who is defined as everyone. In verse 2 when it says, and everyone that was distressed. I don't know who that encompasses, but it was a lot of people that followed David there. Amen.
Amen.
And it may have been or may be someone sitting here that loves God. It's on your journey like David, but you're having some trouble. And you found yourself distressed. So distress in the Hebrew means a narrow place. It means confinement. Anyone here ever been confined?
Yes.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Check this out. It means disability. Distress means anguish. I don't know about you, but I've been through some seasons where I was distressed. Mm. Where I found myself in the cave of Adullam. And before I can continue to break down distress, let's talk about Adullam. The name Adullam, when you're studying the scripture, it's very important to look up the meaning of names. Amen?
Amen.
Giving you some keys to help for the word of God to just become alive to you. Look up the meaning of names. It will begin to prophesy to the text.
Amen.
Adullam means justice of the people. What Adullam means. So it's prophetic because David and these people who joined themselves to David at Adullam, they was distressed. They were in debt. They were discontented. And God brought them to a place where he says, I'm going to give you justice.
Amen.
Are you there? So I understand because Saul ain't right. And we go through some things. A lot of what we go through, we brought on ourselves. A lot of what we go through, it's on us because we are our own worst enemy.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say, the enemy,
the enemy is enemy.
We are our own worst enemy. So the one thing you have to do before you get a breakthrough is stop pointing the finger at everybody else.
Amen.
Now, there's times where we are unjustly treated. Amen. If you were young and molested or raped or things of that nature, it wasn't right. It shouldn't have happened to you. Amen.
Amen.
But once you become an adult, regardless of the cards that's been played, you got to play the cards that's been given to you.
Amen.
That's what my father told me a long time ago. I was going through a horrible divorce, and he said, Romel, you got to play the cards that's been dealt you. Amen.
Amen.
Anybody here play cards?
Amen.
Yes.
Any bid whisk? Spades?
Yeah.
Amen. See, there's some people that poker. There's some people that's so good at playing cards, they learn how to win with a losing hand. Yeah. Come on.
Come on now.
You ever play cards with somebody? And afterwards you know you had some junk? And you looked at what they played and they had some junk, but you still won? So that's what happened when you're walking with God.
That's
it
right.
Looks like you got a losing hand, but you still gonna win.
That's good.
And we already talk about that right now. So Adullam means what?
Justice for the people.
Because we've been through some stuff.
Man.
We're distressed. We've been going through that narrow place. confined, disabled, anguished. We're going to talk about that. Amen. In debt, discontented. Now we had a place called Adullam. Now it was a cave. Somebody say cave.
Cave.
Now what's a cave? Cave, this is so powerful. Cave, of course, means cave in the Hebrew. But if you look it up, it literally says cavern full of darkness. You've been through a season of darkness before? An enclosed place where you don't get the light that you want? Amen. Amen. Am I the only person who's been in a season of darkness? Who's been running and distressed? And in debt and discontented, and I find myself in a safe hole, but it's dark. Wow, now watch this. All I did was look up cave in the Hebrew. It comes from a root word that means to be made naked. What do a cave got to do with you being naked? Because when God by his Spirit wrote the word of God, He put within the meaning of the words for it to prophesy to you. Say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Jesus is the word. So when you study the word and the individual words, he's in them.
He's in the cave.
Come on. You see, the Bible is biblical history. He's the word of God. It's his story. He said, in the volume of the book, it's written of me. Amen. So he's not just in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where it's in red letters. He's in Genesis to Revelation. So when you study the word, not just read the word, when you study the word, he's in every syllable of the word. Am I helping anybody?
Amen.
So, if you just took cave at face value, all it means is cave. But God began to prophesy when I looked up the root word, it means to be made naked. Come on. So when you come to the place of Adullam, you're not just distressed. You're not just running from your sorrow. You're not just in debt. You're not just discontented. But God is using all of that to strip you. To bring you to a place of nakedness before him. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
So, it said that they were distressed. Mm-hmm. So, what did I say distress means? The narrow place. Confinement.
Disability. Anguish.
Disability. Amen. Have you gone through something or going through something where it disables your mind? Amen. Disabled, you feel disabled emotionally. You feel disabled mentally. Your heart feels disabled. Amen. Your imagination is disabled. Your will, your confidence, your abilities, your gifts. It feels like that life just put you in a wheelchair and say, don't move. These are the people that was joined to David in this dark cave where they were stripped down to nothing. Anguish, confinement. Anyone here ever been confined? Hallelujah. Now, distress comes from a root word that means to compress, to oppress. To lie sore. Lie sore. That means that you're so paralyzed with what you're going through that you're just lying there sore in your mind, sore in your soul, sore in your heart, sore in your thoughts, sore in all your abilities. So this is some heavy stuff.
Amen.
This cave of Adullam was prophetic. Hallelujah. So that's just in distress. God talking to anybody. Then it says everyone that was in debt. Now, In the Hebrew, in debt means exactly what it says, in debt. Well, what is that? That means when one person owes another person. That means you have creditors. Hallelujah. And see, you can go through some seasons where you are indebted. Do you realize debt kills more marriages than anything else? Debt kills towns. Debt destroys counties. Debt destroys states. Debt destroys nations. Debt ain't nothing to play with. Well, the people that was gathered at the Cave of Adullam was not just distressed, but they were in financial ruin. Amen. They were in debt. Now, there's more indebtedness than just finances, but the Hebrew actually speaks to actually having creditors. Because God understands what debt does to the human psyche, what debt does to relationships, what debt does to communities. Debt. The people that gathered with David at Adullam were in debt. Amen. There's a lot of people that are on the run because they owe so many people. That's some serious stuff. Amen. It'll play with your mind. Amen. Amen. When you in a relationship, when you marry, and that debt start getting bigger and bigger, if something don't happen, that relationship is over. Debt ain't nothing to play with. And right now, America is what, about $20+ trillion in debt? So our enemies are lining up saying they can't last much longer. Hallelujah. They can't last much longer. You're that much in debt, we're going to be able to come for you. Hallelujah. Then it says that they were discontented. Lord have mercy. Somebody say discontented.
Discontented.
What do you think discontented means?
Unsatisfied.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Not happy.
Not happy.
Uncomfortable.
Anybody discontented?
Not satisfied.
Yes. Not satisfied. That's right. Uncomfortable.
Not having enough.
Not having enough. That's right. So it's one thing to be distressed. It's another thing to be in debt. But then you're going to go through discontentment? Lord, have mercy. But these were the people, because David was going through it. They saw the leadership in David, and they joined themselves to him in this cave called Adullam. Amen.
Amen.
Now, can I preach to you?
Yes.
God does not work from the outside in. He works from the inside out.
Hallelujah.
Lord have mercy. He works from the inside out. It's the enemy that works from the outside in. And when God works from the inside out, he's never in a rush. The devil that works from the outside in, he knows he has a short time, so he's always in a rush. Have you noticed that many of the mistakes you made is when you were in a rush? Got married too soon, signed that contract too soon, didn't study that business, didn't go over the due diligence, didn't do what you needed to do. You was in a rush, and you always paid a price.
Yeah.
God is never in a rush.
Amen.
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 Remember when he was dealing with Moses after he delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, and they began to act up, get into idolatry, murmur and complain. God literally, after waiting 400 years to bring them out of slavery, he literally told Moses, I'm going to kill them all and start over with you.
Nah.
God ain't never in a rush, because it's all about his will. We're the ones in a rush, and we keep running into a brick wall. So God works from the inside out. We need to know that, especially you that's sitting here. I know it's tough. I know there's a program, But you couldn't be in a better position than you are right now.
Amen.
And by the time we get done, you're going to understand this. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say biblical mathematics.
Biblical mathematics.
Say, Pastor, what is that?
Pastor,
well,
what is that?
Biblical mathematics is what I come up with, and it basically means this. The devil will initially add in your life, so later he can subtract. The enemy will initially multiply in your life, so he can later set you up and divide you. But God, once you meet him, he will first subtract in your life so he can later add.
Amen.
He will first divide in your life so he can later multiply. Mm. So when you meet him, the first thing he's going to do is say, come out from among them. Mm. Be ye separate. And he's going to start severing bad relationships and these people. Because guess what? The reason why we stand a lot of the issues we're in is because of people, places, and things.
That's right.
Wow. Amen. Deal extensively with prisoners and juvenile delinquents. And what I tell them all the time is, when you get out, if you don't change people, places, and things, you will return. So when you meet the Lord, guess what? You may not like it. It may not feel good. But the first thing he's going to do is subtract in your life so he can later add. He's going to divide in your life so he can later multiply.
Yes. Yes.
It's called biblical mathematics. Are you there?
Amen.
Now we're going to shift from biblical mathematics to bacon and eggs. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Anybody hungry in the house? Besides Aaron. Anybody hungry?
We always hungry.
So, somebody say bacon and eggs.
Bacon and eggs.
Bacon and eggs.
Bacon and eggs is about the chicken and the pig. Amen. Amen. And it's a picture of us. We are either chickens or pigs for this analogy. So God requires us to give. Amen. Of ourselves, of everything. So when we come to God, we're either being a chicken or a pig. Now what happens is, guess what chickens give? They can give eggs. And see, some of us are given, and we can fool the people around us with our egg. Because some of us can even lay a golden egg. Wow. Brother gave that. And see, but you and the Holy Ghost know what's really in your heart.
Yes, that's right.
And so you walking around with your egg, but God still know you a chicken. You walking around with your egg, but God still know you's a chicken. You walking around with your egg, but what's a chicken? Someone who's cowardly, someone who's afraid, but you still a chicken. You impressing everybody else with your golden egg, but you ain't gave God what he asking for.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So you either a chicken or you a pig.
Yeah.
But when it's time for the pig to give, he's looking around and say, hey, I can't just squat and lay an egg, God. God said, but it's time for you to give. The chicken's still walking around, looking around, doing his thing, bragging about the egg that didn't cost him anything. Because God looking for everything, and the chicken walking around bragging, and it didn't cost him anything. Amen. But some of us are pigs. And God is saying, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on what you're going to give. He's like, I can't lay no eggs. What you going to give? Don't worry about the chicken. What you going to give? And after self-examination, guess what we find out? The only way the pig can give is going to cost his life.
That's good.
Lord have mercy. And see, the cave of Adullam is where all the pigs were. The chickens was running with Saul, but the pigs was hanging with David.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's going to cost you everything.
That's right.
And it's laid out in the scripture.
Come on, man.
Give your body. Give your body as a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Not just your money. Not just your time. Not just your treasure. Your whole body.
Amen.
Did you know that God wants it all?
Amen.
Amen. And some of us are in the predicament we in right now. We find ourselves in the cave of Adullam, and we're distressed, we in debt, and we discontented because God's still waiting on everything.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, you still running.
Still running.
But he want it all.
He want it all.
Now let's talk about David and Saul again.
Amen.
The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart.
Right.
Is that what it said?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And he was. He was a worshiper. He was a warrior. He loved God. But let me tell you one of the reasons why he chased God. He was after God's own heart. And it's going to prophesy to many of us tonight. David was chasing God because Saul was chasing David. Somebody going to get that. David was chasing God. Lord, I love you. Lord, I bless you. Lord, you're everything to me. I bow down before you. Heaven and earth adore you. I'm a worshiper. I'm a lover of your soul. As the deer pants after the water, so does my soul. He was writing all those psalms, chasing God, worshiping God, loving God, because Saul was chasing him. Mm-hmm. So what am I trying to say? Stop cursing your darkness. Some of us, we just beg God every day, Lord, just kill Saul. Do something with Saul. He's trying to kill me, but you don't even know Saul working for God. And you know why? I believe God took so long to remove Saul. Lord have mercy. Because he wasn't ready. He knew that once he removed Saul, once Saul stopped chasing David, David was going to stop chasing God. So God took his time before he removed Saul because he didn't want David to leave his presence.
Amen.
Amen. And you may be sitting here and you're so desperate to get out your situation. You're so desperate for God to switch this thing up. But you're chasing him right now. And for many of us, we're so messed up that if God delivered you right now, you wouldn't pursue him no more.
Amen.
I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen.
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 Amen. Come on.
This is real business.
That's right.
So God ain't in no rush. Amen. He ain't in no rush. He's like, yeah. I know you want to be delivered. I know you want me to fix your house. I know you want me to fix your finances. I know you want me to deliver you from this and from that. And I know you want me to remove your soul from your past. I know you're tired of being in debt, distressed, discontented. But I just love your presence. Amen. Because I know you ain't going to worship me like that no more if I just quickly set you free. So we find out that the journey is more important than the destination.
Amen.
Hallelujah. David was such a worshiper that God yearned for his presence.
Amen.
That boy was, he was such a worshiper that God didn't want him to leave his presence. And God waited 13 years to remove the man that had him chasing him, because David didn't know that once God removed Saul, he was going to find himself looking at Bathsheba.
Yep.
Amen. He was going to find himself in adultery. He was going to find himself murdering somebody.
Mm-hmm.
God knew it. You see, that's why I was saying in a prayer, Lord, give us a panoramic view. Because see, all we see is what's in front of us. All we see is our pain. All we see is our anguish. All we see is the distress, the in debt, and the discontentment. All we know is we're in this cave and we've been stripped naked, but God says, I see the whole thing. And there's a process. You need to trust the process. You need to know that all things are working together for your good. All things are working together for your good. Stop cursing your darkness. Stop trying to be rushed out of this. Heaven, God showed. Don't you know that he's big enough? If he wanted to deliver you right now, you would be delivered. There's a reason why he's taking his time. He's taking his time because he loved your worship.
Come on now. Come on now. That's right.
And we'll not act right when we're free.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
We don't know how to act right when we're free. Freedom takes responsibility. Freedom takes some anointing. Freedom takes some character. So God, just stop cursing your darkness. You right where you're supposed to be. You sit here in your distress, in your discontentment, in your indebtedness, and you say, Lord, I trust you. Amen.
Amen.
You gonna release me when I'm ready. Show me the lessons I need to be learned. Put me where I need to be. Help my mind and my heart to understand what you're doing. Bring me out of this season of just begging you to deliver me. If you can deliver David, and he was a man after your own heart, I got to trust you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Because God loves it.
Amen.
You looking at the pain, but God looking at the beauty and the brokenness.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he understands, as long as they're in Teen Challenge, there's a heart of worship.
Hallelujah. That's right.
As long as they're sitting there, there's a passion. They're chasing me.
Hallelujah.
Amen. There's a contrition there. There's a humility there. There's a brokenness there. Amen. As long as this is your cave of Adullam, where you just strip naked before God.
Yes,
see, before Adullam, you were still perpetrating a fraud. Before Adullam, you were still playing games and manipulating. Before Adullam, you hadn't come clean before God. But when he brought you here, you said, Lord, I'm tired of it.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
See, he brought you here so he can strip you naked.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing you got to learn before it's time to graduate is, God does not pour into full containers. He brought you here to empty you out. That's why he let Saul stay alive in your life. Saul working for God. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said if you seek to save your life, that's when you lose it. But if you lose your life, that's when you save it. We don't even understand the Bible. He said the first shall be last, but we're fighting with every fiber of our being that we don't be last, but you don't graduate till you become last so God can make you first.
Amen.
But as long as you're fighting from being last, you will never be first. You got to die before he raised
right.
you up.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's trying to work it out. Glory be to God. So stop cursing your darkness. Stop complaining about where you are. God knows where you are, and you're right where you're supposed to be. He ain't a day late or a dollar short. You're going to go when it's time for you to go. But I tell you what, as long as you're sitting there, like I said, you can deceive one another, you can deceive the people around you, but God knows there's still some stuff in you that he asking
right.
you to empty out.
That's right.
And he ain't let you go nowhere. He's like, no, I want that too.
Amen.
I want that too.
Right.
I need that too. Adullam cave means to be made naked.
Wow.
I want that too.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. This is what it's about. Now, let me tell you something. Just because you may drink, have done drugs, been in crime, been in jail, and you're in a season right now of Adullam being stripped, the ones on the outside got to go through the same thing. Just a different journey. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've never drank, never did drugs, never been arrested. I'm in jail a lot, but I'm teaching. I'm teaching. Amen?
Amen.
But guess what? I had to be broken just like you.
Hallelujah.
I had to be brought to nothing just like you. I had to be brought to my lowest common denominator just like you. But guess what? God is using the drugs, the criminal mind, the alcohol, to bring others to nothing.
Amen.
And he's using what's available in our lives to bring, we all got to die.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So stop looking at what brought you here and just be glad that you got here.
Hallelujah.
Because the fact that you got here means that he loves you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 Stop cursing the darkness.
Amen.
Stop cursing Saul. You're working for God. Now, how many of you heard the scripture, no weapon formed against me shall prosper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me give you some insight concerning that. Say it with me. No weapon formed against me,
no weapon formed against me
shall prosper.
Shall prosper.
Now, that's what the Bible says. Now, check this out. Do any of you have weapons formed?
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the enemy.
Yeah.
Is anything in your life where the enemy have formed weapons?
Yeah.
Does anyone have weapons formed?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Come on, we all do.
Yeah.
The Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yeah. Do you have weapons formed?
Yes.
Forming at the moment.
Now watch this. It says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So if you can testify, Lord, there are weapons formed. The enemy have formed weapons. God sent me here tonight to tell you, if weapons are formed, they're not against you. Because he said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So if you say weapons are formed based on the word of God, they're formed, well, they ain't against you.
Amen.
And if they're not against you, they're for you. He said no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you know weapons have been formed, I'm here to let you know, well, if they're formed, they can't be against you.
That's right.
That means they're for you.
Hallelujah.
We know they're formed, but they ain't against you. Hallelujah. That's the revelation we got to receive.
Yeah.
Whoever it is, whatever it is from your past, whatever you've done, whatever been done to you, that's been a weapon. But God, who is able to make all things work together for your good, he took the weapon.
Yes,
what did he
Lord.
Tell
yes,
Joseph? What the enemy meant for evil, I'm turning it for good. He took the weapon that the enemy formed, and he said, it will not be against you. I'm going to make it for you.
Amen.
Amen. That time in prison, it will be for you. That divorce, it will be for you. That indebtedness, the distress, the discontentment, it will be for you. Only God can take manure and make the same vegetation grow faster. Only God can do that.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So stop cursing your darkness. You're right where you're supposed to be.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, let's go back to 1 Samuel 22. And I want you to see how this thing gonna end. We got it?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Verse 5. And the prophet Gad, somebody say Gad.
Gad.
Said unto David, abide not in the hold. So Adullam was also a hold. He said, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Lord have mercy. The time you spend in Adullam, you stay there until you are empty out, until you are made naked, until you come to nothing. Amen.
Amen.
Because the only way God can pour himself into you is that you must get out of the way. Isn't that what John the Baptist said? He said, I must decrease so that he will increase.
Amen.
See, you are here because this is your decrease. And it's painful, it's distressful, but we all got to go through it.
Amen.
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 So, he said, at the right time, he said, going to send a man or woman of God to you, a prophet of God, and he's going to say, you know what? It's time to leave Adullam. And where did it say he told him to go to?
The land of Judah.
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 What do Judah mean?
Graves.
Amen. So guess what? This is prophesying that you're not going to stay in debt. You're not going to stay in that dark cave. Come on. You're not going to stay distress. You're not going to, Saul ain't going to always chase you. You're not going to stay in discontentment. Are you there?
Amen.
God is going to send a word of the Lord. Once you do your part, once the word of the Lord has been perfected in your life, once you finally submit to the promptings of the Holy Ghost, he's going to send the word of the Lord and say, it's time to go to Judah. That's when you're going to stop crying. That's when you're going to stop begging. That's when you're going to say, Lord, when you're going to deliver me, and you're going to move to a place of praise.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
A place where you can say, Lord, I thank you.
Hallelujah.
That you graced me to hold on.
Hallelujah.
I thank you that I stopped cursing my darkness. I thank you that you sent Pastor Romel, and he expanded my imagination, and I came out of this place of desperation, and I went on and emptied out. I went on and made myself naked before you so that you can clothe me with your glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Because you love me too much to let me stay the same.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because this ain't about religion.
Yes.
It's about relationship.
That's right.
He is real.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I said he is real.
Amen.
And he loves us so much he's willing to crush us. He loves us so much, he's willing to squeeze us. He loves us so much, he's willing for us to come to nothing. Because guess why he saved you? He saved you so that he could live through you.
Amen.
And as long as you still doing what you want to do, two objects can't occupy the same space
That's
at the
right.
same time. You got to get out the way. And hey, God is never in a rush. If you masochistic and you love pain, it take one person 1 year, take another one 50 years. And now what happened with the children of Israel?
40 years
wandering in a circle. But Joshua and Caleb were the only two that made it in. They were ready. They were the only ones in that generation ready to take the promised land. But they had to walk in circle the Sinai desert because of a whole generation of fools that like pain.
Come on now.
God ain't in no rush. He's like, hey, if you want to keep circling that mountain, amen.
Amen.
And you want to keep eating manna all day, instead of, he said, I'm going to give you houses you didn't build. Vineyards you didn't plant.
Right.
Olive trees you didn't plant. Wells you didn't dig. Amen. He said, if you want to circle mountains and keep gathering up manna all day, instead of going into the houses I had the Canaanites build for you, or wells I had them dig for you, well manicured vineyards for you, it's on you.
Yeah.
Because he ain't going to do it for you. Amen.
Man.
God has a will.
That's right.
Watch this. You can surrender or suffer.
Mm.
Father God, we thank you for your word.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
We thank you for your word, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And I pray that you move in Teen Challenge tonight.
Jesus.
Shake them to their core, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
I pray that the illumination of your Holy Spirit grab them at their core in their hearts right now, Father God. That they come to a place of utter surrender to you. God ain't playing games with me. Hallelujah. He's made an investment in me, and he's going to get what he invested in. If it take me 40 years to get there, he's fine with that. Oh, I can wake up tonight.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
We bless you. I ask right now for your grace and your help, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Strengthen them.
Yes,
help them. There is a Judah, a repositioning to Judah that's waiting on them. But God has said, we waiting on God, but he's really waiting on us.
Hallelujah.
Father God, we thank you right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
The answer is not in removing Saul. The answer is us coming to nothing.
Hallelujah.
And saying that you're everything, oh God.
Yes.
The answer is not removing our problem. The answer is elevating our thinking. We pray right now, Father God, that your Holy Ghost arrest everyone under the sound of my voice. That we would be obedient. We would be obedient that we may eat the good of the land. Father God, I give you glory.
Thank you.
I give you glory right now, Father God. I pray that your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish the things that you sent it out to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And as I end, I want to leave you guys with this. The word silent and listen have the same letters. I'm going to say that again. The word silent and listen have the same letters. So what does that mean? That means you're not listening until you get silent. And the reason why we stay in perpetual seasons of distress is because we don't listen. Amen. Amen. He brought you here for you to be silent before him.
Amen.
The Bible says this. It was David that said it. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. See, we don't really know him as God until we get still.
Amen.
Amen. We're legends in our own mind. We don't know how to shut up. We keep talking. We keep giving our 2 cents. We keep running our mouth. God said, you must like me. Because if you were so smart, you wouldn't be here. If you had all the answers, you wouldn't be in this situation. Shut up.
Amen.
Once you get silent, that's when you listen. You know why? Because the Bible says the Holy Ghost speaks in a still, small voice. Amen.
Amen.
Get still before God.
Amen.
Amen. It may look dark to you, but my big Bible says that light and darkness are the same to God. That'll preach. You said light and darkness the same to me. You have cursed the darkness. You have cursed your environment. God says, I'm in it. If I be for you, who can be against you? If God is with you in the darkness, who cares?
Uh-huh.
He's the light.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
So it don't matter that Adullam is dark. Yeah. The light of Jesus Christ is in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Adullam means justice.
Justice.
Amen.
So
God brought you to Adullam. Because he knows what you've been through, and he's ready to exact justice for you.
Amen.
But your justice and his justice is two separate things.
Amen.
Your definition of justice and his definition of justice, they might be opposite. Because
yeah.
Guess what justice is for him? For you to die and get out the way.
Yeah.
That's his justice. Amen.
Amen.
Because God didn't have them... He then removed them from Adullam and had them go to praise until they learned what they were supposed to learn in Adullam. Amen.
Yes.
This is your cave of Adullam.
Hallelujah.
Where everyone that is distressed and everyone that is in debt and everyone that is discontented, you're in the same cave.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. What the cave mean? To be made naked.
Amen.
God is saying, I'm just looking for you to empty out.
Woo.
So I can fill you with myself. Because you ain't going to make, if I just let you go back out there, you going to make the same mistakes. But if you leave here full of me,
amen.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.